2005 is gone. Now, some people might take that as negative, but if I'm not mistaken, I was showing some gratitude. That's what the truth says, you're supposed to express gratitude. So I got a song that I'm going to play that I've been playing a lot, but I think it's a perfect song to start out the new year with because the lyrics just never cease to blow me away. And when you hear the song and you hear people singing in the background, this is the famous background singer Pam. So while the vocals are going, we might get Pam to stand in the background and do the background and some steps. A million years ago, reminded me a million years ago when I saw Richard Pryor had a television show. And he had the Pips on there without Gladys Knight one night. And she was in it all the song. They was just back in the back, just doing the background, coming in. They were so happy. They finally got a chance to test it for Shannon. Okay, so here we go. And pay attention to the lyrics. Here's the lyrics. Y'all hear the lyrics so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
is absolutely awesome. This Lean Breaking Me, which Jim can tell you how to get your CD.
You go to GardenRoadRecords.com. There's Lainey's and then another lady named Beth. Mm-hmm. And that my husband did the music for Lainey and for Beth. And then his CD's out there too. They're all, of course, Miracles-based songs. So, GardenRoadRecords.com.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful
stuff. Woo! I love the first class of the year. I would be so nice and full. I appreciate it. I do. To the bottom of my heart, it's great to see you here. That's right. We'll see how long it takes me to scare y'all. I'm going to be on page 102, paragraph 7. And we know this is some kind of a special message for us. Because it's in the section called The Only Answer in chapter 6. And remember, the Course in Miracles has its own definitions for all the terms that you see on the page. So it has its own interpretations of itself. So when you see kingdom, the Course says, in the kingdom, where you are and what you are is perfectly certain. There is no doubt, because the first question was never asked, what am I? Having finally been wholly answered, the first question is never been. Being alone lives in the kingdom, where everything lives in God without question. The time spent on questioning in this dream has given way to creation and to creation's eternity. You are as certain as God, because you are as true as God is.
Wow.
But what was once certainty in your mind has become only the ability for certainty. Mm-hmm. So it's the Course calls, one definition it gives of the kingdom is reality, another one is joy, another one is love. So it says that when you're in reality, when you're in joy, when you're really in love, where you are and what you are is perfectly certain. So when you're really happy, you're perfectly certain of what you are and just perfectly certain of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
Hard to be perfectly happy if you went to sleep in Denver and woke up in Los Angeles. For a minute, you're going to be a little disoriented. Then you're going to go out pot. So there was no doubt, because the first question was never asked, which is, what am I? He said the question, what am I, the Course in Miracles says, that was the beginning of doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what you are has finally been answered. Now, how long it takes you to accept the answer is up to you. Mm-hmm. But the answer is, you are love, you are loving, and you are lovable. That's what you are. You are love, you are loving, you are lovable. You are love, you are loving, you are lovable. You are love, you are loving, you are lovable. You are lovable. You are lovable despite what they say about you. That's right. You are lovable, and even more intense than that, you are lovable in spite of what you tell yourself about. Yeah. Yeah, that's the, yeah. Now everybody felt better then, didn't they? The problem, you know, most of us on a level of consciousness that we probably don't have a lot of people calling us a low-down, dirty dog. You know, but we tend to do it to ourselves in one form or another. So you might not be nobody else crucifying me, but I took over the job.
Yeah. Full time.
And the pain sucks.
It's a full-time job. I never get a vacation. I never get a little Christmas gift, nothing. Okay. Then he says, the ones who finally answered the question, who you are, which is love, then he says the question is never being, because being alone lives in joy. Being alone lives in the kingdom. And the kingdom is where everything lives in love without question. So the Course says, when you're in the kingdom, you're where everything lives in love. And until you're where everything lives in love, you're not in the kingdom. You're not in reality. And the way you are where everything is in love is by being. To be or not to be, that truly is the question. So this year should be a year of being. Not a year of analyzing, but a year of being. Okay, because it's only being, the Course says, that lives in love. Because being lives in love without question. Your being knows it's love. Your being knows it is love. Your being is not trying to figure out whether it's love or not. Your being is love.
That's good news.
That's cool news to me. He says, the time spent on questioning has given away to creation, has given away to its eternity. He says, you are as certain as love because you are as true as love. That's God. But he says, what we were once sure of has now been reduced to nothing but the ability to be certain again one day. We used to be completely certain. Now we're reduced to, I have the ability to be certain that I am loved one day. Okay? That's paragraph 7. Any questions or comments about that? Because the next paragraph is a trip. In about paragraph 7. So everybody pretty clear about how to tell when you're in reality. Rule number 1. When you're in reality, when you're really dealing with the truth, when you're really dealing with what's real, where you are and what you are is perfectly certain. You don't have any doubt. You're no longer questioning. You're finally being. And you are certain that you are just as cool as God is. Until you pretty much feel like that, you're not in reality. You're in a world that you're making up in your mind based on what you're telling yourself all day. And your perception will validate your beliefs. So you'll see it because you believe it, and so that'll further convince you that it's true. Until you accept that it's a lie from the beginning. I'm seeing it, but it's a lie. I don't care how I feel today, I know I'm still loved. There still is an answer. I am love. I'm going to be, and I am love. Okay, see, what it's doing is telling us what our real self is like, and then it tells us about what the self we made up is like. The self we made up doesn't believe any of this I just said. So I always say in the Course class, I'm not teaching your egos. I'm not teaching your human identities. I'm not talking to the you that grew up in the world and learned everything that you learned through the world and your experiences of the past. That's the ego. I'm not talking to that part of you because that part of you does not understand what I'm saying. It doesn't care what I'm saying. Might be feeling some resistance to what I'm saying. Maybe going totally unconscious. Maybe thinking about what's going to happen to me later on today. Wonder how I got here in the first place on the first day of the year. Could have been somewhere else. That part of you is not the part of you I'm talking to. I'm talking to the part of you that knows where it is, that's perfectly certain that it's lovable, that absolutely knows how to be, and knows it's just as powerful and just as much love and truth and wisdom as the Creator is, because it's an extension of that Creator. That's the part of us that I want to know. And that's the part of me that I want to be this year, as much as I possibly can. And then I want to forgive myself when I don't pull it off. Those are two things I want to do. Give it my best shot. If I don't pull it off, I'll just do it again another day. One of the things I love about myself now is that I can recognize when the ego, it pretty much is getting ready to start an argument or a disagreement or a separation or picking for something. And I just stop before it even gets started. I don't even go there. You know, so, I can see where this is heading before it even goes there. Beware of always trying to get yourself out of something in desperation, because you're not completely consistently applying love to yourself all the time, because moods are nothing but constantly changing interpretations of who you are. The once you're sure about who you are, you won't be so moody. The only reason why you're moody is because you keep changing your mind about yourself. I said you love it, and you said, no, I'm not. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody has anything to say. Don't say I didn't give you a chance.
That number 8 you're talking about.
Okay. Do you know what was the beginning of your doubt? Do you know what was the beginning of your uncertainty? The introduction of abilities into existence.
Wow.
See, the introduction of abilities into being was the beginning of doubt. And I'll tell you why. Because an ability is a potential, not accomplishments. So when you have the ability to do something, which is above ability, by the way. Y'all came back a whole level up this time, y'all. The first of the year. He says, an ability is a potential. So when you have the ability to do something, or you want to develop the ability to do something, you say you have the potential to do it. So since you have the potential to do it and you haven't actually done it, then you have some doubt about it. So abilities will actually introduce uncertainty into the mind. You know why? Because in the presence of the accomplishments of that which created us, abilities are meaningless. You have already accomplished everything you're trying to develop the ability to accomplish. Don't try to wrap your head around it. Explode. Don't. Just let it be. Let it come on in. Don't try to. I can feel the motor getting cranked up. You know, I'm going to get ready to analyze that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
see, what you want to do is you want to hear the truth, and then you have the beauty of seeing how you developed into it. So it's like sort of like coming in at the end of a movie and then sitting there and seeing what happened. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the point you came in. That's what your whole life is according to the Course, and mine too. You're already back in home, in reality, in total love, in total oneness, in your spiritual identity, reviewing what you went through to get there. So part of what you went through in order to become totally happy was to have the day you're going to have today.
Okay. In a life review, is that
what you're saying? It's almost like you come home at the end of the day, you sit back in the lounge chair, and you recap what happened that day. Now, you're recapping everything that happened from the lounge chair. But the you that's in the recapitulation seems like it's the you that's going through the problem. Right? Because I'm remembering the argument I had with my boss, so I'm seeing the me that was having the argument with my boss, and the boss with my argument.
Yeah.
That's why I said with ability. That's a part of me. Don't want me to get this out at all, boy.
You will not say another word of truth. I will kill you.
Okay. You know. Just breathe. I'm going to get to the paragraph. We're going to come back. All right? Okay. So when you introduce abilities into being, that was the beginning of doubt, because an ability is a potential. It's not an accomplishment. The abilities that you're trying to develop are useless in the presence of God's power, because there's nothing, no ability you're going to develop is going to give you anything more than your Creator gave you.
Wow.
Now, accomplishments are results that have been achieved, right? So when your accomplishments are perfect, abilities are meaningless when accomplishments are perfect. It is curious that the perfect must now be perfected. It's curious that we're so perfect, but we need to be perfected. Or we're so loving, but we are loved, but we need to be made loving. It is kind of strange, isn't it? And the Course says, I used to wonder about that. If I'm so perfect, why do I need to go through all this? And the Course says, in fact, it's impossible that you need to be perfected and that you can be perfected. Remember, however, when you put yourself in an impossible situation, the impossible seems possible. You put yourself in an impossible situation, so now it looks like the impossible is possible because you're in an impossible situation. It's an impossible situation to be in a situation where you could be alone and without help. It's an impossible situation to think you could be without your Creator. It's an impossible situation to think that you're guilty. It's an impossible situation to think that you're trapped in any situation. You're in an impossible situation because you believe it's possible to be in an impossible situation. I believe it's possible for me to walk around the world lonely. Well, now you're in the situation that it looks like you can walk around the world lonely. You believe in the impossible situation, so it looks like you are now in the impossible situation. Paragraph 8. I know. If I do it right, I'll make you uncomfortable. So I must be one of the most righteous people on earth. Okay. Abilities must be developed before you can use your abilities. Your abilities must be developed before you can use your abilities. They must be developed. This is true not only of any, this is not true of anything that God created. Nothing that God created needs to develop any abilities. Nothing that the Creator created needs to develop any abilities. No God child needs to develop abilities. But it's the kind of solution possible for what you've made. Okay, so you're in this impossible situation that you think you could be unhappy or unloved or less than what you really are. That's an impossible situation. So the Course says, in an impossible situation, you can develop your abilities to the point where they get you out of it. Since you are in an impossible situation, then we're going to give you the ability to develop your potentials until you get out of this impossible situation. You're going to develop until you take yourself out of the situation that's making you unhappy. You're going to develop the abilities to get you out of whatever situation is making you unhappy. Hello? Yeah. Is that okay?
That's
good. All right. Now the truth is, according to the Course in Miracles, is that if you were aware of who you really are, then there really wouldn't be the need to develop any abilities because you'd already realize you were an unlimited being. But since we don't realize we're an unlimited being, we need to develop the ability to realize we're an unlimited being.
Right.
Because we're in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
What's an impossible situation? It's a situation in which you believe you're limited. So in the situation that you see yourself as limited, you're in an impossible situation. So you need to develop your abilities to get out of that impossible situation. But since it's a potential and not a reality, then you must understand it's natural to have doubts while you're developing abilities. So don't spend all your time trying to get rid of your doubt when it's natural to have doubt when you're developing abilities. Most people are trying to focus on getting rid of the doubt instead of putting the energy into developing the ability. All day long, let me get rid of my doubt. Let me get rid of it. No, would you develop the ability to get your butt out of that situation? That's what you should be putting your attention. Not trying to get rid of your doubt. Because you've got to get rid of your doubt automatically as you develop the ability to the point that you can accomplish it. It's built into the system. When you can ride a bicycle, then you're no longer doubting about your ability to ride a bicycle. But while you're learning how to ride a bicycle, you're scared that you can be. So it's natural when you try to develop a new ability to have doubts.
Whew.
I know that feel good.
Yeah.
I know it. Let's forget that quickly. Thanks, brother. Thank you so much. Ah, that's great. That's great. All right. Well. Are you in an impossible situation in some area of your life?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you need to develop the ability to get out of that impossible situation?
Yeah.
Are you willing to accept that just because you need to develop the ability to get this situation solved, you're going to have some doubt because you haven't accomplished it yet?
Yes.
Okay, so you stop feeling bad about having doubts about what you're trying to do when it's natural to have doubts about what you do when you can't do it yet. Will everybody stop being unnatural and try to get rid of their doubts when it's natural to doubt? Okay, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
See, I gotta have my right brain still laid down.
Yeah.
Okay. It's great to know I got a right brain. Okay. Now here's the next step. This is cool. I think we're all together on this. Okay, we're loving and we're lovable, but we've forgotten that we are. So we have to develop the ability to realize who we really are. Why are we trying to develop the abilities that would get us out of this impossible situation where we think we could be lonely or afraid or sick or sad or limited in any way? We're going to have doubts because we don't know how to do it yet in the impossible situation. So we all admit we're ready to develop so that we can get past anything in the past that's held us back. That's why we're here this morning. Right? Okay, here are the rules. The next thing is you have a guide to how to develop your new abilities. You have a guide. Didn't say you are the guide. It said you have a guide. Didn't say you are the guide to developing your new abilities. So your ego is going, okay, what is it I need to do to get myself out of this impossible situation? See, that's the ego. It's the part that thinks everything is up to it to do all alone, even though it doesn't know what it's doing, because it's the part that doesn't even have the ability. It's crazy when you hear it, right? Okay, this is like me never having flown a plane in my life, telling myself I'm about to guide myself through the process by myself. How successful am I going to be? Okay, I wouldn't want to get in your plane either. You're not going to go on the airplane to ride?
No.
There are a lot of people I could recommend. They tell you about the airplane to ride. What about people? Have you ever been to ride you?
Oh, no.
You remember that fondly, too, though. Okay. You have a guide to how to develop your abilities, but you have no commander except yourself. So you are the commander, but you aren't the guide. You are the commander. Yeah. Got to have a role. I assign you the role of commander. That sounds important, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm the commander, but I don't know where the hell where I'm going, but I am the commander. You just be clear about that, okay? And then the course says, when you read it with humor, it comes to life. It's just not words on the page. This says you have no guide to how to develop the ability. You have a guide to how to develop the abilities, but you have no commander except you. Now, what does it mean to be the commander but not the guide? Well, if you're the commander, then it leaves you in charge of your own joy. The kingdom. You're the one that's ultimately in charge of whether or not you allow the guide to teach you how to develop the ability that gives you happiness. You are the commander. Now, here's the good deal. You're in charge of your happiness, but you have a guide to find it and a means to keep it. I want you to show me how to get to what I want, and I want you to show me how to keep it. Because I have to do both of them. Because sometimes I seem like I get it, but I can't hold on to it. So I not only want you to show me how to receive it, I want you to show me how to keep it. So I am the commander, which means I'm in charge as to whether or not it happens for me. But I'm not the guide. I'm the commander. I'm the one that says, let's go up the river, Polo. You know, and then Polo says, well, you go this way. Mm-hmm. See, I was the commander. He wouldn't have went that way if I hadn't have been the commander that asked him to go that way. So you're the commander, so you need to ask the universe, ask the creator, ask your higher self to show you the way. Mm-hmm. Because you're in an impossible situation. You think you're not completely safe and loved all the time. That's impossible. Don't you be trusting your lying eyes.
Yeah. Oh, that was hot. Don't be trusting your lying eyes. Write that down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Write that down, Pam. Pam is writing down all that. She's a stenographer of God. She writes it down. She writes it down. Take it slow. Now the Course says you have a model to follow who will strengthen your command and never detract from your command in any way. So we have a spiritual guide to follow. We have a higher self to follow. The Course calls it Jesus. You can call it Buddha. You can call it higher self, the great infinite is, the shortbread cooking man, whatever name you use to keep you from tripping from your past experience with religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's where they go to God. You know what I'm saying? It's like, say whatever word works for you. But we're talking about something greater than our own ego, right?
Yeah.
So the Course says we have a model to follow. And he says, but you can tell when you follow somebody that's right, because a person or a thing or anybody, you can apply it to anybody. Anybody that you're following that does not distract from your command in any way and strengthens your command in any way, that's who you need to follow.
Yeah.
You need to follow someone who's strengthening you but not distracting from you.
Yeah.
So who am I going to listen to? Somebody that as a result of listening to them, I feel stronger. Somebody that when I listen to them, I feel like they're not trying to take my power away or my right to command or my right to choose. That's pretty simple.
That sounds like ego.
I don't see how, but I put everything that you do. How is that ego? To listen to guidance when you're in an impossible situation and don't know how to get out. How would it be ego to listen to a part of you that knows the way and would allow you to have the way without hurting you or distracting from you in any way? The ego is the part of you that would try to take your power away, make you dependent, and look like you're a victim. That's the ego. The ego is the part that's the victim. The ego is the part that wants to control and manipulate. But how am I controlling and manipulating you if the only thing I'm doing is allowing you to strengthen your own right to be in command? And by command, I mean your right to decide to be in charge of whether or not you receive whatever you want to receive. And remember, we're talking about in the impossible situation. So these are rules for being in the fearful world. This is not the ultimate rules of the reality. This is when you're in an impossible situation. You need a guide to how to get out of it. And when you're in an impossible situation, you need a guide that will strengthen your command but not detract from it in any way. When you're in an impossible situation, you need to give yourself a break and realize that you're going to have some fear until you accomplish your goal. You're going to have some doubts, so don't worry about the doubt. The doubt is natural. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so the Course says, you therefore retain, I love this, you retain the central place in your imagined enslavement. You think you're enslaved, but it's all in your mind. Nobody's enslaving you at all. It's all in your mind, but you are the center of your own imagined enslavement. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
But if you are in the central place in your imagined enslavement, the Course says, then that demonstrates that you're not enslaved. If it's an imagined enslavement, it means you're not really enslaved. I always think it's saying good stuff. It sounds like to me like it's saying good stuff. Does it sound like it's good stuff to anybody else? I can swear, you know, you got a God, don't get you out of situations. It's like, the more you release me, the madder I'm getting. Because I have not been able to get myself out of the situations that I am in up to now. So unless I see how it can happen, I don't believe it can happen. And that is the most limiting thought that you could possibly have to keep yourself inside of imagined enslavement. It's for you to tell yourself, unless you can figure it out, unless you see it, and unless you agree with it, then it couldn't be true. I might not know how to get myself out of an impossible situation, but I'm willing to accept the idea that it's possible for me to get out of the impossible situation. With anybody else?
Yeah.
I'm willing to have answers and solutions that I can't think of and I didn't make up.
Yeah. Yes. Good to have a guide.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not necessary for you to know how to get yourself out of the situation for you to be gotten out of the situation unless you believe you have to get yourself out of the situation yourself.
Yeah.
Which most people do. It's a criterion of maturity. I'm an adult, and as an adult, I must be able to solve all things by myself without any help from anybody else. And as an adult, what am I most upset about? Well, nobody helps me. But you don't want nobody to help you. You just said you want to do it by yourself. Well, except when I want you to help me. You know, again, you go back and forth every day. You know, depending on situations. Of course, the leader and the follower, the worst roles in the world you could get, either one of them. Because people get mad at you when the follower in them comes up and they don't know what to do and they want the leader in you to take over. And then they get mad at you when they want the leader in themselves to take over and then they don't want to do the follower. But you don't know, that changes from moment to moment, day to day, depending on their needs. So, but if you're a leader or a follower, you're walking by yourself. If it's two for sure, it'd be better to have somebody walking side by side. See, I want an equal. I don't need nobody. I don't want to get into a love relationship with somebody else I'm going to teach. Please, do not get a partner for the purpose of healing them and teaching them, nor of learning from them and them learning from you. That's just kind of built into the system. Please don't consciously accept that role because you're going to mess up everybody. You, that's another adult, an equally powerful being, just like you. They don't need you to take the role of being their teacher. So why would you want to form a relationship with somebody that's so unequal to you that you got to teach them everything for them to be able to relate to you anyway, unless you're some kind of control freak and you want to be one up on them? But I know a little bit more truth than you, so I'm going to form a relationship with you, and I'm going to bring you up to my level. I'm going to turn you on to the truth. I love it, boy. You're setting yourself up so good. Okay, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that you're going to constantly have to forgive and practice the truth on them. They're going to appreciate the fact that you can forgive them over and over and over and over and over again, no matter how horrible they act. In the meantime, they haven't studied anything, so they can't give you what you're giving them at all. So you get a chance to always practice forgiveness without giving any in return when you do the same thing, because they don't know how to do it when you do it, because they haven't learned it like you have. So go ahead and hook up with unequals.
Is this why my body hurts, sir?
Is that why your body hurts?
Yeah.
That's why. Because you got twisted thoughts. I love it. You say, you ought to do something about your shabby thoughts. I said, that's cool. I've never read the spiritual book to call my thoughts shabby before. I was kind of selfish. They always say, you have infinite, powerful, wonderful, unlimited, God-like, powerful, unlimited thoughts. And of course, your thoughts are shabby. And I kind of see it. You know what I'm saying? I saw my thoughts like stumbling around and stuff. Not very strong. You know, because I've lost sight of the fact that I'm loving and lovable. I'm in an impossible situation and I'm trying to get myself out of it. I'm mad at myself because I have doubts, even though I haven't developed the abilities that I think I need to develop. I don't listen to my guide that knows how to get me there. I don't want to be the commander because then I have to be responsible for what I'm going through. And then I wonder why things aren't changing. But, you know, you all are cute, so everything's going to be all right. Don't say nothing, you'll be okay. I'm telling you, get dates that take you out there and marry you. Just don't open your mouth. Don't say nothing. You'll be all right. So the conscious being is going to want to know your thoughts. The conscious being is going to want to hear what you think. The conscious being is going to want to know what you want. The conscious being isn't trying to be interesting. A conscious being is with you and they're being interested. You know, they're checking you out. The conscious being wants you to talk. They want to hear what you believe and what you think and what you've been into and what you're about. Conscious being isn't sitting up there trying to get you to hang on every word they're saying. They're asking you questions about what you want.
Don't trust your lying eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right, because your lying eyes will show you the outside of the person, but not the inside of the person. Your eyes always show you the outside and not the inside. That's what we call them, lying eyes. They just show you the outside, but they give you no insight into the content. Because that's what you're going to be dealing with, is the content.
That's a bumper sticker for sure.
You know. That's right. Okay. Now, any questions about that chapter? I mean, that paragraph. It felt like a chapter, but it was a paragraph. Yeah.
No, keep going.
Yeah, because...
You got us wound up.
Yeah, you haven't told us yet about keeping it.
Right.
You know,
the way you keep it is to continue to
listen to
your guide. See, what happens is that people get in the truth long enough to get some healing or something they say they want. Soon as the things get a little bit better, they drop the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's like eating a meal and thinking you're going to live off of it for 7 months. Yeah, you're going to, you know, you give yourself the truth just long enough to get out of the situation, like taking an aspirin. And then as soon as you're through, then you don't keep continuing to give yourself the truth. And then you won't keep it. You will not keep your peace unless you give yourself the truth constantly. Yeah. If there's never any time that I'm not giving myself love, then there's never any gap in my love. And if there are no gaps in my love, there's no fear in my life.
Wow.
Because there's no way the fear can get in. Because I'm, you know, it's just, this is number, I'm just being love. Where the fear going to get in? Because there's no empty spots. Because I'm being it. If I'm being it, all of me is it.
That's good.
Yeah. But if I'm philosophizing, and if I'm analyzing, then I'm giving my ego something else it can use against me. Because it's just a bunch of information that can be used to make me feel worse about myself. Because now I'm not even doing what the truth says. So you get all this study, but then you analyze it, it becomes a burden. But if you use it, then there's no room for the ego to come in. That's why you want to use it. No empty spots. Okay? Okay, this next paragraph. Paragraph 10. Take a little while here.
Man, I'm telling you, this is deep.
Find your water.
Is that water?
Yes. Hey. Bounces with your ticket, squirt this laid out. I know you got a cane, take out anyway. Okay. Me and Judy go back, don't we, Judy? I'm telling you.
I got your back.
That's right. You are in an impossible situation only because you think it's possible to be in one. You are in an impossible situation only because you think it's possible to be in one. You're in a fearful situation only because you think it's possible to be in a fearful situation. You are in a lack situation only because you think it's possible to be in a lack situation. You would be in an impossible situation if God showed you your perfection. You would be in an impossible situation if God proved to you that you were wrong. So God does not prove to us that we're wrong, because if God proved to us that we were wrong, we'd have to really be here in the impossible situation. In other words, you don't want God to make your problems real. You don't want infinite power to make your problems real. So the Course says, originally I used to ask, well, why doesn't God really just break through my dream and just tell me that I'm wrong in an outward way? And the Course says, well, because that proved that you really were in the situation you thought you were in. In other words, if God showed you that you were wrong, that would demonstrate that you, the perfect, are inadequate to bring yourself to the awareness of your perfections. If you're so perfect, you don't need me to bail you out. You need me to show you how to develop your abilities to the point that you get out of the impossible situation. Because you have the ability in you. I'm not trying to give you something you don't have. Do something for you that you don't have the power within you to do. And so if God showed you that you were wrong in what you thought about yourself, that would side with the belief that those who have everything need help and are therefore helpless. That's what the Course said. That's the kind of reason the ego engages. In other words, here you are, totally perfect, but you need all this help. And so the Course is saying that's the kind of reasoning that our fearful mind uses. It uses the reasoning that I don't have the power. I'm in this impossible situation. I need somebody to rescue me. And the Course is saying, well, you're only in an impossible situation because you think it's possible to be in an impossible situation. Spirit is not going to side with the idea that you do not have the power within you to free yourself from this situation, because that would be siding with the idea that a God-like being doesn't have God-like powers. But the God-like being needs to be guided, while the God-like being is examining the idea of what it would be like if I was a fool. I'm a God-like being. I can create anything because I'm unlimited. Well, I wonder what it would be like to be separate, thinking I'm alone and limited in some way. I wonder what it would be like to forget who I really am. So you're having the experience that you can only have because you're a God-like being. So now we took the joke too far.
Yeah.
We got hemorrhoids and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. We took the joke too far. Okay. So now we're saying, Creator, help. I'm in an impossible situation because I believe it's possible to be in one. I know I normally wouldn't have to develop abilities, but in this impossible situation, I need to develop my abilities to the point that they get me out of them. I'm being the commander because right now, today, I'm deciding for my happiness. But I need a guide to show me how to get to the peace that I'm looking for and how to keep it. Now, I know you're not going to just show me that I'm wrong because that would side with the belief that I'm helpless and don't know my way out of this. But what I really want to do is get you to show me, through guiding me, how perfect and whole and complete I am, and not affront me. See, we don't get affronted. You know. We don't get affronted.
This is an affront?
No.
No?
No, that's healing you. That's freeing you from the impossible situation. It's an affront to your ego, but it's not an affront to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The you that wants out of the impossible situation is going,
yeah.
Okay. The you that loves the impossible situation because it thinks it deserves the pain and the fear and the upset and don't love itself. That part of you don't want to hear nothing that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because that would free you from it. Okay. Yeah, that's deep, isn't it? But you know that's the truth. So our Creator, of course, says does not affront us, and it's impossible for you to affront God. So you need to get clear that you can't hurt the Creator's feelings. There's nothing you do hurts the Creator's feelings. The Course says, you know, I'm sorry, but God doesn't have an ego that needs all kinds of intense worship and praise. But you do need to appreciate yourself. It's not like, you know, that's like the ultimate ego trip, you know. All you, come and worship me. That's ego. I mean, who would need that? That's what the egotistical God.
We mistake that for love, don't we?
That's what we do each other. We think worshiping each other is love,
right.
But we forget to notice that those idols always fall.
Yeah.
Even when you say, how many of y'all been up on a pedal and been knocked off that pedal like, you know, like a boulder?
Ooh.
You know, you know, because the higher you up on the pedal, so the better shot they can get. We've all experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, you can do no wrong. I don't understand why anybody believes anything anybody says to them at the beginning. What is wrong with us? Why do we do that? You know, it's like, you know, I mean, at the beginning, when I want you,
yeah.
I just got a single-minded goal to have you.
Yeah.
Whatever you tell me, I'm going to say, okay, you pick your nose at the table, that's so sweet. You know, you pick your toes at the table. That totally get it. She just being herself. You know, can't do nothing wrong. Then 6 months later, you want to chop that foot off with an axe when you put it up there. You know. Y'all know how it is in the beginning. In the beginning, you always meet the representative.
Totally.
Everybody, my representative meets with your representative, and then my representative comes back and reports back to me, and your representative comes back and reports back to you, and then we decide whether or not we're going to get together. You know, you need to listen. At first, you need to be asking questions and listening, because whatever you into, they're going to say they're into if they want you. I'm a Course in Miracles student. I was thinking about getting in the Course just the other day. You would go more like, what is your spiritual path and what do you love to study?
Yeah.
Well, Satanism. Thank you very much. I'll see you next week. I got a cousin. I'll give you a number, brother. But I'm getting out of here. You know what I'm saying? Just listen. Listen. The Course says you do two, three things. You listen, you hear, and you speak. And when you really learn to be a good communicator, you don't think before you speak. When you're really a good communicator, you allow your words to be chosen for you by your higher self. So you're listening, hearing, speaking, and you're listening, hearing, speaking.
Okay. Pam, write that down.
Pam, write that down. I mean, we want to get copies on three carbons.
I'll be selling notes after the class.
A note pusher. I knew it. I knew she was up to something. Bootleg notes. Okay, so I'm going to stop right here, And then we're going to do the love offering. And generosity is beautiful at the first of the year. And and then I'm going to do a quick review before we run out into the dream, real quick, so we can have some thoughts to take. And what you want to do when I come back after the love offering, thank you for sharing with me. I teach the course full time in the world, so thank you, because I live off the offerings that I get in my classes through God. You know. What you want to look for when I go back through what I'm going to go through in a minute is one thing. Don't try to remember it all. Listen for one thing that you're thinking. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I deserve to be paid for having fun. I now accept unexpected income. I now accept unexpected income. Okay, claim it. Claim it. I'm willing to develop the abilities to not be broke. And I need, that's right, and I want a guide who will show me how to find my prosperity and abundance and show me how to keep it. I want to develop the ability to know my abundance and manifest my abundance and manifest the love in my life. And I realize that I'm the commander, but I am not the guide. I'm the commander. So 12 noon on Wednesday is my next class. 7 p.m. on Thursday is my next class. And I'm available for one-on-one counseling called Clarity Sessions and Soul Purpose Reading. Some of you don't know that I've been a professional astrologer and numerologist for almost 30 years, too. And the Course in Miracles teaches that no matter what you've learned in the world, whatever your talent or ability is, it can be used as a means of awakening and recognizing the truth. In case you're wondering how I can do astrology readings and do Course in Miracles. Whatever your ability you have developed can be used for your awakening. Just because I say I'm waking up doesn't mean I'm not going to use my abilities. Now my abilities are going to be used by the part of me that loves me, where I used to use my abilities to the part of me that you get.
No, I didn't mean that.
That's okay. That's okay. I personally have never used my abilities to get laid. Okay. And I got a couple of chairs of the Golden Gate Bridge by stage too. Oh boy. I've been in the world a long enough time to do it very wrong. And get a chance to go, you know, that's not the way I think I want to do it.
Yeah, you know? I am too.
Yeah, I'm nicer than I've ever been in my whole life.
Me too.
Aren't you nicer than you've ever been?
Yeah.
You know, y'all, I can look at you and tell.
Okay, so here we go. So you're looking for one thing, one thought. One thought. And you can also get copies of the classes, you know that too.
Give yourself a break if you're feeling doubt. Remember that doubt is natural when you're developing new abilities. So give yourself a break if you've been feeling some doubt. Give yourself a break if you are afraid. Being willing to develop new abilities, being willing to grow, being willing to become more spiritual, that's a potential in this impossible situation. It's always natural to have doubt and fear while you're developing your abilities, because abilities are not accomplishments. So you're in charge. That means that you have to make the decision for your peace. You have to make the decision for 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 peace. Now, when you make the decision for peace, you will be given a guide who knows the way. You will be given a guide to teach you how to develop your new abilities. You are going to develop new abilities. You're going to develop new abilities. You're going to develop new abilities until they get you out of this impossible situation. You're going to get out of the impossible situation. You're going to get out of the impossible situation. You're going to get out of the impossible situation. Are you willing? So tell yourself, I'm in this impossible situation only because I believe it's possible to be in it. I'm in this impossible situation because I believe it's possible to be in it. I am in this impossible situation because I believe it's possible to be in it. You are going to be taught how to develop your abilities to the point that you are released from the situation that you are feeling fear in. So when you walk out of here tonight, you want to resign as your own teacher. Resign as your own teacher. Resign as your own teacher. And ask for your guide. The Course says what you would say when you don't know what to do, what you would say when you're full of doubt is, decide for me, Holy Spirit. 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 Decide for me. Now what does that mean? Decide for me, my loving right mind. 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 Let me tell you this. The first of the year, I always start my workbook lessons the first day of the year. So if any of you have been thinking about starting the workbook, start it today, and then we'll all be on our lessons together. So those of you who have been thinking about making that commitment, because it's the workbook that makes the course work. It's the workbook that makes the course work. So if you've been thinking about doing it, well, if you're not so far along that it wouldn't be a sacrifice to go back and start with me, then let's do the workbook together. Today would be lesson one. Don't analyze the workbook. Just do it and then move on to the next one. Because after a while, it'll begin to make sense. But in the beginning, it can be disorienting and confusing. Okay? All right, are you willing to have this year be the best year you've ever experienced in your life? Y'all willing to join each other on that idea? Well, the Course, there's a great lesson from the Course that we should end on in it that goes something like this. And we'll say it four times, and I'll say what it is first. I bless the world because I bless myself. Okay, so let's say it. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. One more. I bless the world because I bless myself.
Hariba.
Whew. May the Course be with you.
You.
I'll see y'all. Happy New Year. Or better yet, Happy Now Year.
Oh, that was good. Happy Now Year. Woo! Woo-wee. You're awesome.